State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Welcome to Checking In with Michelle Williams, a production of iHeartRadio and The Black Effect.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle. Thank you so much for tuning in. Listen, we've all seen the headlines, how over half the country is suffering from mental health issues from the effects of the pandemic. What if I told you that my next guest has some amazing advice on techniques that can teach your brain to heal your depression or anxiety? That's coming up next, right here on Checking In with Michelle Williams. So glad you can join me on Checking In. This podcast is inspired by my book, Checking In with Michelle Williams, and I'm so excited that it will be launching in May of this year. In my book, I share how I had to rebuild how I think because it was also a contribution to my depression. And the person that is going to be sharing on today's podcast is Dr. Caroline Leaf, and I've been following her for a couple years, and last year we began working together. I was so starstruck when she personally responded to me. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. And I just want to tell you guys that, you know, on this podcast, Checking In, I want to create a space where the podcast and the episodes are relatable, you know, but I got to warn you, when Dr. Leaf gets going, you got to almost sit still because she is so, so smart. And the information and the jewels that she gives are so profound. It's kind of like I want you to sit still and write this down. Or if you just happen to be riding home, you can listen to the episode. But when you get home, listen to it again, because I'm telling you, what is about to go down is going to be monumental and it is going to change your life. Since working with Dr. Leaf, you know, jointly with my therapist, I kid you guys not, my symptoms of depression have truly lessened. And this is not to make anybody a believer. Listen, depression is real. Anxiety is real. People that have bipolar depression or people that have schizophrenia, all of that, All of that is real. But in my case, my testimony today, since working with Dr. Leaf early in the summer, I think we started in July of 2020, I have to be honest and tell you, definitely my symptoms of depression have lessened to the point I feel like they're almost non-existent. But I think what she's been training me to do along with my therapist is how I respond to situations that would have triggered me or that would have put me down and would have had me sad for days. Days turn into weeks. Those weeks turn into months. And now I'm able to respond differently to situations that would normally anger me, piss me off, or hurt me. You know what I mean? And so I'm just excited for y'all to get into this week's episode. Dr. Caroline Leaf, she's my friend. We keep in touch and we talk regularly, and she's amazing, and I'm so glad to have her on the show. So buckle up your seatbelts, get your pen and paper ready, because she's about to give it to us. Thank y'all so much for checking in with Michelle Williams. I am delighted to have an amazing special guest. And we're actually friends, and we try to make sure that we are intentional about checking in with each other. My guest is Dr. Caroline Leaf. Dr. Caroline Leaf is a prolific communication pathologist and cognitive neuroscientist. She's an in-demand teacher at academic, medical, and neuroscience conferences. She is also the author of several life-changing books, including her latest, Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess. Please welcome to my podcast, Dr. Caroline Leaf.
Oh, thank you, Michelle. So nice seeing you, my friend, and such an honor to be interviewed on your podcast. And I just love talking to you. You and I, yeah, we talk all the time, and we have these weekly check-ins. They go on for, 2 hours later, and we haven't even started.
Right. It's so good to be in communication with you. Well, I've been connected to you for a couple years now with your, you have a book and a technique. I could be calling it wrong. It's the 21-day brain detox. And I don't know if maybe I reached out to you on Instagram DM or somehow.
I think that's what it was.
And you responded. And I was like, oh my God. Yes, I was starstruck that
Dr. So was Caroline, I.
that Dr. Caroline Leaf responded to me. And so we did the 21-day brain detox last summer, 2020. And it is something that still sticks with me because the 21-day brain detox, it goes beyond just the 21 days. And we have forged an amazing friendship. And hopefully you guys see more in store with the both of us.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I was starstruck when you reached out to me. And, you know, it was just an instant connection. I mean, you just know that that is someone that you just soul tie there, just that in the best sense of the word. And it was just so wonderful how we actually just for 21 days consecutively just talked through how to use our mind to change our brain. And it impacted, we reached thousands and thousands of people. And that was, yes. And I'm so excited about what the future holds for us working together, the scientist and the singer.
Yes, the scientist and the singer. Now, listen, since I brought up the 21-day brain detox, although that is not what we're really discussing, but I'm sure people are like, 21-day brain detox, give us a little smidget of it.
Well, Michelle, we can actually, it does relate to the current book because I've got the book here. I know you've got the book too. So that's Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess is my latest book, number 19. And that actually has my most updated version of the 21-day brain detox. So I can unpack it in terms of, you know, the what it really is and how it's developed. And essentially, it's a system for how to help you direct your mind to change your brain. So as our mind, and I say clean up our mental mess because if we're human, which we are, and if we're alive, which we are making messes of our lives all the time. And that's just being part of being human. But we don't have to accept that as the norm, and we don't have to stay stuck in the mental mess. We are so powerful and so able to clean up our mental mess. And when we talk about we can clean up our mental mess, what does that mean? That means that we actually are using our mind to clean up our mind. And in doing this mind cleaning up mind, we're also cleaning up our brain. So for nearly four decades now, I've been researching, as you know, the mind-brain connection and what is mind and what is brain and what's the difference between the two and what are thoughts and can you change your thoughts and how do you get those crazy thoughts under control and how do you deal with depression and anxiety and how do you build learning skills, all these things. And I've worked clinically for 25 years and I've done research for 38 years. And any scientist will, you're constantly learning. You're constantly researching and improving your own knowledge. And so this book is a cleaning up your mental mess is a culmination of 38 years of research, but in the most updated form where we looked at all kinds of amazing stuff, which we can talk about, just showing the power of the mind and the mind brain connection.
Yeah. So for those listening, there might be two people that probably just had an aha moment that said, wait a minute, the mind and brain are separate. They're two different things.
Yeah, exactly. And so to answer that question and also to just backtrack very quickly, because I didn't fully answer your previous question, what's the 21-day detox? So the 21-day detox, the updated version is in this book. And it's called the NeuroCycle. From the extra research I've done, Michelle was an extra neuroscience and that kind of work in that area. I have updated the system, and it's a system. It's not replacing therapy. It's not replacing any self-help tool. It's simply, if you're alive, you're using your mind. Your mind never stops. You can go 3 weeks without food. You can go 3 days without water. You can go 3 minutes without oxygen. But you can't even go 3 seconds without your mind working. So your mind never stops. You wake up in the morning and your mind is online and you are responding to the text, the emails, the podcast, the work, the whatever you're doing, the news. And right now, we are using our mind to process this conversation. People are hearing us. You and I are looking at each other. Some people are seeing us. And that is all going into your mind. Your mind is processing it and it's building it into thought trees in your brain made of protein. So then from there to go to your next question, which is what is mind? What is brain? So everyone has and knows what a brain looks like. So I just want you to imagine a brain in your mind. Well, that brain, if you think of what a brain looks like, and if you think of your brain and your body, so look at yourself, that brain in your body, you can see that. That is actually only 1% of who you are. What is the other 99%? It's your mind. So what is your mind? It's you. It's your unique way that you think and feel and choose. So if you had to define mind, mind is how you think, how you feel, and how you choose. Thinking, feeling, choosing. My three fingers I'm holding up together. Those three things go together. You're always thinking. Because you're always thinking, you're always feeling, because you can't think without feeling. And because you're always thinking and feeling, you're also choosing. You can't think and feel without choosing. You can't think without feeling and choosing. You can't. So in other words, those three always go together. You think, feel, choose. Think, feel, choose. Right now, at the moment, as you're listening to me, you are converting my words and Michelle's words at 400 billion actions per second through your ability to think, feel, and choose into protein trees inside of your brain. And you are changing your DNA of every one of your cells. As you are listening to me now, and you're building memory into your mind. So your mind's got is like kind of outside your brain. Your brain and your body is this physical. I know this is kind of hard to imagine, but it's your physical. And your mind is what we would call the non-physical. And we study it using things like gravitational fields and quantum physics and electromagnetics and that kind of thing. Einstein first sort of kind of got a glimpse into this when he started doing his work on the photoelectric effect and how our bodies emit photons. So mind is totally real. It's the driving force. If you're dead, your brain will die. Your body will die. Because the mind has been removed. So it's your spirit and your soul. And we can now start understanding it more. And, you know, Michelle, for many years, and even now, the mind is, when we talk about mind in science, they tend to talk about consciousness. And they say that consciousness is the hard question of science. But actually, it's not the hard question of science, because just being able to say consciousness is the hard question of science, you used your mind. So it's not the hard question. It's the most obvious question. So you're always with your mind. Your mind doesn't stop, not even, as I said in that example, not even for 3 seconds. During the day, your mind is working to build thoughts in response to all your experiences. Everything you experience from the time you open your eyes is being built by your mind into your brain and into your DNA. And then at nighttime, your brain sorts out what you have built. So you're with your mind, you think, feel, and choose, and you build thoughts. And thoughts look like trees. So when you talk about detoxing the brain, we're talking about using our ability to think, feel, and choose and fix up those thoughts that we made that were messy. We don't always think, feel, and choose in the best way. So we don't always build the best thoughts. Because every time you think, feel, and choose in response to an experience, you build that into a thought. So you have an argument. You think, feel, and choose. You build that thought in your brain. It's toxic. It actually causes brain damage. You fix up the argument. Now you fix up that tree. That tree changes. How do you fix it? Through your thinking, feeling, and choosing. Now that thought tree, instead of it being an ugly, thorny tree, now becomes a beautiful green tree. That's all mind work. So in cleaning up your mental mess, I teach you how to do that. And the concept of the 21-day detox, the system is called the neurocycle. So from my latest research and the updated version, the five-step process of that you use in the 21-day detox is called the neurocycle. And in this book, I very practically explain what the neurocycle is, what it does in your brain when you use it to detox your brain. And the reason we talk about 21 days is because we see that it takes cycles of 21 days to be able to use your, to self-regulate your thinking, feeling, and choosing, so that you can find all those toxic forests in your brain and fix them up and turn them into the healthy forests in your brain. And that's detoxing, identifying those toxic habits, those toxic traumas, those toxic reactions that have become established, finding those, uprooting those, and working through those. And you use the neurocycle to do that in cycles of 21 days. The first 21 days, which is a very important cycle, each cycle is important, is how you find the toxic issue. We can talk about how to find it in a moment. I don't want to talk about too many things in one concept, but you in the first 21 days, you identify, so you gather awareness of it, and you embrace, process, and reconceptualize. And then the second 42 days, so the second two lots of 21 days, so 42 days, you grow it. You make it strong enough to change your behavior. So what I find in my research, Michelle, is that you can change your stuff in 21 days. But if you don't stabilize it, if you don't grow it strong, it won't change your behavior. So it takes 63 days to form a habit, and it's only habits that change behavior. So I said a lot there. I don't know if you want to unpack
that. So, well, the great thing is that if I'm hearing you correctly, as far as thinking, feeling, and choosing, I guess those are verbs. So we have the power to change some things as it relates to what we think, what we feel, and what we choose. Because I can wake up in the morning and I can think, oh gosh, we're going to have a bad day. And then I can feel, oh gosh, I'm going to get rejected on the job. And then I'm just going to choose to be mean. And I'm just going to choose to stay negative about it because I know that this is what's going to happen.
Exactly. That's exactly what happens. And it happens fast. It's happening on two levels. It happens on your non-conscious, in your non-conscious mind at about 400 billion actions per second, what you've just described. Mm-hmm. And on a conscious level, it's happening in about 10 seconds and seven to anything from 3 to 10 seconds. And that can set the tone for the day. And then everything else that you experience. So then now you wake up and you feel that. And then you read your first email. You're lying in bed, having your coffee, reading your first email. And even to get your coffee, you used your mind because you can't do anything without your mind. Now you read the email and the email some other horrible whatever. And now there's three things that you're thinking, feeling, choosing. So you can be pretty worked up at that stage, which means that the two parts of your brain at that point would have started working out of harmony. You would have a decrease in blood flow and oxygen to the front of your brain. So your ability to be creative and have cognitive flexibility and creativity will drop. Your impulsivity will increase and you start being driven by toxic patterns that are popping up from your non-conscious into your conscious mind.
So we can have physical effects of negative thinking?
Oh my gosh, so much so. So the first half of the book, I actually have given the most updated research on how that happens. So Michelle, we took two groups of people and we did what we call a random controlled study. And I'm going to say this very simplistically, but science is really good. Science is so important to understand why we do things that we do. So to answer your question, every thought that you think is in an instant changing every cell of your body. This is how big it is. As you're thinking now, you have got 37 to 100 trillion cells in your body. So just look at yourself now. That's 37 to 100 trillion cells. Every word that I'm saying, you are processing through your mind. So you're thinking, feeling, and choosing about it. And as you're doing that, you are influencing the DNA of every cell of your body and you're building protein branches in your brain. So you're changing the structure of your brain. You're doing that. Now, we do that all the time, regardless of whether we're controlling it or not. We do that. That's just how you, as a human, how you designed. So what I am advocating is that if your mind is always changing, then why don't, and if your mind then is changing your brain because your mind we said is thinking, feeling, choosing. Your brain is the physical. Your mind moves through the brain and the brain responds to the mind, but electrically and genetically and all that stuff. And you build these proteins. So it's not that the brain is making your thoughts. No ways. Your mind is making your thoughts and stores them in the brain. And then your brain uses those thoughts and, and then be able to express ourselves. But that's still, even the expression is even the brain using the thoughts is driven by mind. And even your expressing is driven by mind. So mind is controlling everything. So, and it's always happening. So my thesis statement or my argument or what I'm proposing in this book, Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess, is that in order to clean up your mental mess, if your mind is always going, and it's always changing, don't you want to direct the change? Because if you're not directing it, you've got, it's changing in chaotic ways. It's creating mental messes. You're making wrong decisions. You're going all over the place.
Yeah.
One irritating thing into the next. Before you know it, your day spiraled out of control. And you're thinking, and then you start feeling anxious and depressed. Don't you want to be able to control it? Because if your brain's always changing, don't you want to direct that change? And that's what I have studied, and that's what I teach people to do with a neurocycle. That's what you're essentially doing with the 20-day brain detox. But I've taken it even wider, that it's not just for detoxing traumas and bad habits, but it's actually a lifestyle. Okay. I'm teaching you how to capture those thoughts and renew. You know, renewing your mind is a present continuous. You're supposed to always be renewing, and we're supposed to capture all thoughts, not just any thought now and then. We're making anywhere from 8,000 to 180,000 thoughts a day. And on each thought, you can have 100 to 200 to 1,000 to whatever many memories, because a thought's like a tree, and a tree has branches. Trees have branches, thoughts have memories. And you're making anything from 8,000 to 180,000 a day. I mean, that's an enormous amount of thoughts. You're supposed to be controlling how you make them. And the question is, can you? Yes. The answer is yes.
Absolutely.
The whole
absolutely.
Thing is that self-regulation, that's mind management. You learn to self, you learn to mind manage through self-regulation. How do you learn to mind manage through self-regulation? By using the neurocycle in every situation. And we can, if you want, we can unpack the different situations and however you want to go.
Yeah. So we have definitely heard a lot. We've even seen things that say, if you drink this concoction, your mind will be healthy. Now, I do know you also have a book that
Think and Eat Yourself Smart.
Think and Eat Yourself Smart. I'm glad you had Think and Eat at the same time, because it's more than just, okay, if I just drink this or I eat this leafy vegetable, I'm going to be smarter and I'm going to, it goes together. So tell us about the nutrition part as well and our thoughts, because they both go together, but don't just think. I think you got to eat better, but also do this, the neural cycle that you're also discussing.
Exactly. So that's a really good point. So your mind controls everything, as you keep hearing me say. So in other words, your mind controls your heart, your brain, your digestive system. Your mind controls your immune system, your liver, your skin, your eyes. Everything is controlled by your mind. It's the energetic force that drives your mind. So you can learn to control that. And it's a skill that you develop.
So how do I tell my mind no more honey buns? No.
Okay, so that's you find some organic ones. so basically what we have, if we look at the mind gut link, the mind controls the entire digestive system, and it's very complicated, the digestive system, as you all know. There's a lot of different parts, and you know, there's the pancreas and the colon and the three different parts of the colon and the small intestine, large intestine. It's a very complicated process. So if the mind controls that, so you could be eating this really healthy farm to table leafy salad with that wild grass fed chicken or whatever it may be, like red, and that grass fed cheese and that organic bread, whatever it is, totally like superb. Now that's going to feed your brain and your body. And when they talk about feeding your brain and your body, you're talking about getting the nutritional value from it. So you eat it, and then eventually it goes into your colon, then into your cells as a nutritional substance to your cells. So if your mind is not right, listen to what happens. Because your mind controls right from when you put your food in your mouth, down your esophagus, into your stomach, into the colon, pancreas, gallbladder, everything gets involved. The whole goes into your large intestine, small intestine, eventually into your cells. That entire process is controlled by your mind. So let's say that you're eating this super healthy salad. You would think, okay, well, I'm totally feeding my body. But if you're eating it while you are in this, I'm irritated with this one, I'm frustrated with that, I'm worrying about this, I'm worked up about that, I'm having this whole discussion about this is wrong and that's wrong, and I'm worked up. So my mind is a mess. My thinking, feeling, and choosing is this chaotic mess. And I'm busy eating away, but I'm in this state. So what I've done now is I've sent through this energy into my brain. I've activated a toxic thought. The message has gone directly from the brain to the gut, because it's called the enteric nervous system. There's a connection between the brain and the gut.
Yes.
Okay, so now I send the message and now my entire gut starts malfunctioning up to 80%. So that means that I'm going to lose up to 80% of the nutrition, even though it's good food. So for example, the pancreas is one of the parts of the digestive system. It secretes 20 different neuropeptides that we need to assimilate the nutrients into our cells. If I'm in that toxic, messy mind mess, eating my super healthy food, but the mess, those 20 neuropeptides won't be secreted. Maybe only one or two, or maybe not in the right amount. So I will lose up to 80% of my nutrition, even though I'm eating healthy food. Most people don't realize it.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black businesses initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
I was gonna say, I mean, you can be eating so healthy, but because of the mental mess, your gut, the whole digestive system, things are thrown off. I totally can understand that. So when we're talking about, you know, brain health is linked to gut health, what are your thoughts on brain and gut health as it relates to depression and anxiety?
Okay, so that's an excellent question. So there's a gut-brain interaction. So once again, always remember, think, feel, choose is driving all of that. So as you are experiencing something, let's say that you've had these experiences in your life that you haven't dealt with. So let's say past traumas, and from whatever age, and you've got the, and they're in this forest of your mind. So they're these dark trees inside the green trees. You know, just visualize a forest. That's the easiest way to understand what I'm about to say. Visualize a forest. That's what your brain looks like and what your mind looks like. Huge forests. In your brain, it's like little protein forests and the teeny little forest, but lots of them with millions and millions of trees. And in your mind, it's this huge big forest. So just imagine a forest. And in the middle of the forest, there's this huge green patch, which is beautiful, exquisite trees, gorgeous. On the outside of the forest, there are beautiful trees, green trees, not as beautiful as the middle, but they're beautiful. Some are tiny, some are big. And then in between, there's clusters of dark trees. That's kind of what our mind looks like and what our brain looks like. It's this mixture that dark center down the middle of these perfect trees is our wise mind, our made in God's image mind, or as scientists call it in terms of neuroscience, our wired for love design. We don't have any wiring in our brain for anything
that.
Toxic.
Wired for love, that love we design. Are wired for love.
We wired for love. So
that's another.
I know that's another whole topic of discussion. It seriously is, but. Baseline is that your entire brain and body are not wired for toxicity. Your mind is wired for optimism. So because we're made in God's image. So it all makes sense. We're wired for love. We're wired for survival. Survival.
Y'all hear that? God is love. We're wired for love, and we're wired for love by God, who is love.
Exactly. And the core of who you are, neuroscientifically and neurobiologically and biologically, is all love design. So the proteins vibrate in a certain way. For example, you can take your heart and the way that when you are operating in love, your heart functions differently in terms of blood flow, electrical flow, the vibrations, the way that the arteries dilate. So if you're operating in love, your arteries will dilate correctly, which means that there's going to be good blood flow through your body. You're going to get more blood flow and oxygen to your brain, so you're going to think more clearly, and you release a hormone in your heart called an atrial nutritic factor, which moves through your brain and your body, and it makes you feel calm and peaceful. I mean, that's the wired for love. So when our mind's a mess, if our mind's not a mess, that's what happens. But if our mind's a mess, the blood flow in our heart doesn't work properly. The arteries constrict. They don't, and now you've got less blood flow flowing through your body, less blood flow and oxygen to your brain, so now you can't think clearly. So now you get... So every part, same thing now with your gut, the same thing. Your gut is lined with neurons. Neurons are the things in your, same neurons that are in your brain, you have the same neurons in your gut. You have 300 million neurons in your gut. It's the same amount as in your spine. So in other words, as your thought is formed in your mind, it hits every part of your body. It's not just the gut, but the gut's just very well studied. And the heart-brain connection is very well studied. And we know a lot about that. But every single part of your body is connected to your brain. But the gut brain specifically that you asked about. So as you are thinking, immediately there's a message to your gut. That is why you can get a gut ache, bloatation, cramping, GI symptoms so quickly when you're upset or when you're feeling anxious or depressed. You'll get that reaction because whatever you are feeling is linked to what you have chosen and what you've thought. Remember, thinking, feeling, choosing is mixed up together. So if we're feeling depression, that's a symptom of an underlying issue. So we have to look at our feeling and think, okay, what were my choices? What were my thinking? And what were the thoughts that I built as a result of thinking, feeling, and choosing? And what was my perspective? And what's the root? Yeah. So depression and anxiety, as you and I have discussed many times, are not illnesses like we are currently told, which is very limiting and has actually increased the problems with mental health because labeling people, science shows, limits their ability to heal. Which is terrible. But when you tell a person, it's okay to feel depressed because it's not an illness. It's a symptom of an underlying cause. The anxiety, symptom of an underlying cause. The psychotic break, symptom of...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. So it's a symptom. No. Go ahead. You can interrupt at any time. I don't mind. Did you want to clarify something?
No, I thought I just making sure I wasn't wrong when I think... depression is not a response. It is a symptom.
It's a symptom. Yeah, it's a symptom. So it's a warning signal. It's what we experience. So yes, in a way you can say it will produce a response, because the response will be what you say and what you do. So it's a feeling. It's an emotional feeling. And it's a warning. It's a emotional feeling. And it is the result of experiencing something. So you can, in a sense, call it a response, but it's actually a symptom or a warning signal. It's an easier way of understanding.
Now, when you say that, have you gotten some pushback from others? Because for some people today, this is going to be their first time hearing this, that it's depression and anxiety is not an illness. Have you gotten any pushback from those in the mental health field?
Absolutely. We have had pushback, but fortunately, I'm backed by 150 years of research. And there's a massive grouping of scientists that work in the same vein that I do. So if the current philosophy of it's an illness is not based on good science, it's based on very biased science. Not that the research is bad, it's the interpretation. So the scientists that say depression is an illness or anxiety is an illness, versus what we say, which is anxiety and depression are warning signals. And the difference between the two is that they'll do studies where they'll get people to say, okay, tell us how you feel and tell us what this picture means. And they tell you all these sad things and whatever. And then they've measured the response in their brain. So here's the thing. They asked the people to think, feel, and choose about something. And then they measured the response in the brain. The brain is a responder. But then they interpret that and say, that part of the brain's generating depression. So then they say that depression, and then they'll do various different tests, and they'll see that there's an imbalance in chemicals, or the blood flow is not, there's too much cortisol, too much homocysteine, or serotonin has dropped, or dopamine has dropped, or something like that. Those are all responses of the body to the mind, because as I've already said, the mind controls everything. So they interpret that and saying that because of the serotonin imbalance, that's why you have depression. It's because you have a genetic flaw in your brain, you have depression. That's not even accurate. That can't even be actually proven. It's a misinterpretation. That's an easy thing to sell to the public, because then you say, well, that's the biological cause. Here's the label. Here's the medication. But let me ask you, give you some logic here. You have two people that are both depressed, very depressed, can't get out of bed. Two different people. They do not know each other from a bar of soap. And they both get a diagnosis of clinical depression. And they both get the label. They both get the same medication. And they're both not doing well, even with all that stuff. Medication won't make you better anyway. It'll just suppress symptoms and make you worse in the long run. Okay, it doesn't help. It creates iatrogenic problems, which is damage in the brain. So you now have another problem on top of what you're depressed about. So now if I say two people have got clinical depression, am I doing them justice? No. Because if I take person X, they have a whole story about why they're depressed. So the depression is a symptom of, they maybe had extreme trauma. They were maybe just came out of a terrible marriage. They may have lost someone. The other person's narrative is they're living under the most terrible racist environment, and they've gone through terrible, this has happened, and they've had police coming to their door, and they've had this one being, and so those are two different stories. And how can we say they've got the same? They don't have illnesses. They have responded. So they've had a response to adverse circumstances, and that had an adverse circumstance. They process it through their brain. They're thinking, feeling, choosing into the brain. The brain responded genetically. So bad experience, bullying or bad treatment by police or something like that, or rape or something. They have an experience. They experience that through their mind, think, feel, choose. That they push, that gets pushed through the brain, all very fast. The brain responds chemically, genetically, and they build that into their brain. So now they've got a physical representation in the form of a tree of that trauma. That is toxic. It's causing damage. The brain's wired for love. So what's the brain going to do? The brain's going to try and get rid of it. Like the immune system, we all know now, the immune systems are fighting COVID. In your immune system fights COVID, the immune system of your brain fights a toxic thought. How does it fight it? It sends out warning signals. What are the warning signals? Depression. So when you have depression, anxiety, anger, frustration, hovering anxiety, psychotic breaks, schizophrenia, those, none of those are illnesses. Those are just your mind and body sending you signals to say something's wrong. Pay attention. Grab this. Pay attention to this warning signal. It's a signal. And if you listen to your body, because it's, remember I said it's stored in the brain and in every cell of your body also stores it. So you'll feel it in your body. So when you recall a toxic experience, you recall the data, what happened. You recall the emotions, what happened, how you felt at the time. You recall the sensation in your body. So all of that comes up because all of those are memories built into that thought experience, which is a physical thing in your brain. And that is that's what's coming up and hitting us in the face. Now you can't push that down. That's unique to each person. So you can't just slap and try and validate it with a medical label. That actually invalidates it. Your story needs to be heard. So with the neurocycle, with cleaning up your mental mess, what I am saying is that we've got to listen to people's stories. We've got to help people process their stories. How do you process your stories? The neurocycle is how you process your story. Because your story is, let's say it was that rape, or let's say it was that bullying, or let's say it was that trauma in the marriage, or let's say it was that loss of a loved one, or financial loss, arguments, difficult work situation, whatever. All of us have got a million stories. Yeah. Let's take any one of those.
I think what is so amazing is that I think when people hear this, because I know you freed me as it relates to my dealings with depression. Once we started working together, this is truly my testimony. I mean, I'm choosing to believe, because I live with myself. I know what my body is. Just those symptoms lessening just by sitting with you and you sharing what depression and anxiety is. So I also feel like those of you guys that are listening, it's not something that you have to be ashamed about.
Not at all.
Because, you know, when you label it as an illness, it's like that's part of the reason that the stigma of depression is put on it, or the stigma is out there. You mentioned something about our bodies and our thoughts being able to fight. Immune system wise, we can fight COVID, we can fight negative thoughts. What have you been seeing as a neuroscientist during the pandemic of how people are coping?
So that's such an excellent question. And obviously the shock of everything was an acute trauma. So everyone globally experienced acute trauma of when this disease that, like, in this century, how can we have things like this? It's so insanely crazy that we, with our advanced technology, are now restricted in our homes. And you know, that shock of that. So the shock is always, acute trauma is always very traumatic. So we've all got a bit of acute trauma, which then went into a bit of long-term trauma because it's been going on for quite long and there was so much uncertainty surrounding it. So we certainly all have got a tree in our brain that is very dark. Think of that forest. You've got a cluster of trees of the uncertainty, of the shock, the acute trauma of a threat in this day and age of such a global threat, first time in history that mankind's facing the same global enemy. Then all the confusion, all the memories in that tree of the confusion between the scientists, the fighting amongst the politicians, the mixed messages with masks, the reactions of the public and the two diverse camps and the bipartisanship and the nonsense that's been going on, you know, and you're sort of thinking that in itself is very traumatic. So we've got inside of all of us, in our own experience of this, we've got this toxic tree. And that's why it's so important that, I mean, that in itself, that toxic tree, because it's the root is all the things I've just described. And then the roots are the origin story as the pandemic started, et cetera. Then your tree trunk would be the perspective. This is scary. I'd have uncertainty. The branches of the tree would be the sort of behaviors and the emotions. Like, what do we do? How are we going to handle this? What about my finances? I've got to stay in this. What if, you know, grief and loss? Am I going to die? What are school kids? All these things, which then that combination of the roots, the trunk, and the branches will then produce your words and your actions. So
is that something you guys are currently studying now? Will you or have you?
Yes, there is a lot of research showing that there is this acute and long, now becoming long term traumas. And it's producing the way that there's a lot of studies showing, and there's different, and I can give you a brief summary of sort of some of the things that are going on. But from the work that I'm doing, and I didn't specifically do work during COVID, my research that I just finished that's in this book is just prior to COVID, but we already were in a huge mental mess prior to COVID. Just before COVID hits, we had another trauma. So here's the trauma tree of COVID, which is generating the signals of depression and anxiety and worry and all that kind of thing, because that whole story that I've just painted in that tree is generating all these symptoms. So in order for us to manage, just to answer that one question, and then we can talk about the prior and the future and what other research is going on, just very quickly, we have to recognize that the symptoms of anxiety and depression are normal reactions to adverse circumstances. So as soon as we gather awareness of that,
are normal reactions, people. It is okay. I just want to keep stressing.
Yes, it's okay. It's okay. And what we see from the brain science and the research, to heal from something like this, we can't push it down. We can't label it. We can't medicate COVID anxiety away. What we have to do is we have to face it as a community and as an individual. We have to recognize, first of all, that it's okay. We have to embrace it. As soon as we embrace something, as soon as we gather awareness of it, which is the first step of the neurocycle, we see neuroscientifically that thought tree that I just described, it's now in conscious awareness. So all the little branches are now weak. If a branch is weak on a tree, you can snap the tree off, the branch off easily. So by being aware, by saying, okay, it's okay to be depressed, okay to be anxious. I know this is not, I can embrace this. I can deal with this. It's okay. Accept it. Embrace it. Like picking apples off a tree, you choose how you're going to embrace it. That weakens it. When something's weakened, you can change it. You can deal with it. And then you can work through the whole thing of how and create the antidotes and reconceptualize how you're going to manage each of those elements in your life on your own and together in community. That's extremely important.
When we say it is okay to embrace the depression or anxiety, what do we say to someone who feel like they've just been depressed for 30 years? Or we might know people, it seems like they have been depressed for years. Or say for me, maybe my symptoms of depression started around the 7th grade. And they were kind of teeter-totter in and out of my life, definitely. And it wasn't until I was in my 30s that there was a air quote diagnosis, like, oh, this is depression. So if we tell somebody that is a natural response, like, I don't want people to have symptoms of depression for 30 years.
Okay, so which is such a beautiful point that you've brought up, is that when we talk about you don't want to have someone to have symptoms of depression, but the only way to manage that is to accept it and then to change it. So we've got to embrace it, and then we can process it, and then we can reconceptualize it. So it's a bit like this.
Which is why when I met you and we started talking about this, those symptoms lessened, or I'm like, wait a minute, where's depression? That's amazing. I'm almost looking for it now. I want it to stay where it is.
But if it does come, you're not scared because you know how to manage it. And that's what this whole process of mind management is doing through the neurocycle.
Well,
and the processes.
Right. So when we started working together last summer, you already know an incident that happened, right? But I didn't stay there. I didn't stay in that depressed state long. I was disappointed. Yeah. I was angry, but that would have kept me down for months.
Okay, so let's take what you did. You had an issue happen, and it was making you feel very depressed, anxious, frustrated, angry.
Yep.
So those are your warning signals. So what you did was you gathered awareness, but you took control. You didn't just sit under the tree. That imagine a big, huge apple tree, and it's full of apples, and you bump it, and you're sitting under, and all these apples fall on your head. And that's what it could have been. That's a mental mess with this, oh, this stuff, that's the anger, depression, and it's just like hitting you. You didn't do that. What you did was you applied a neurocycle. You did the 21-day detox. You actually got yourself under control. You self-regulated through mind management. So what did you do? You went through the process of you stood back and you said, I'm not going to let the apples fall on my head. I'm going to gather awareness of the apple. So you went and picked the anger apple. You gathered awareness of the anger apple. You put it in your basket, gathered awareness. You picked you didn't shame yourself. You embraced it, because in that, those emotions is the message and the solution, because they're symptoms of. So to manage it, you mind management means I face it and I change it. I get control over it. So I pick the apple. I pick the anger. I pick the frustration. I pick the irritation. I pick this feeling of the GI symptom, gut-brain connection, the tension in the shoulders. Okay, so the physical warning signals. So that's another apple you pick. So the emotions, depression, anxiety, frustration, anger, the reaction in your body. And then you also look at your behaviors. How were you feeling yourself starting to respond? With maybe getting withdrawn, maybe getting frustrated, maybe irritable, maybe not wanting to connect with people. or maybe getting, I don't know, whatever behaviors you got, you pick that apple. Then you looked at your perception. How is this affecting my life? This is now going to make me see X in X way. And I'm being very broad because it's your private story, but I'm just showing the process that you went through. So you gathered awareness of four apples: the emotional apple, all the emotions; the physical apple, all the physical symptoms; the behavior apple, all the behavior warning signals; and the perspective warning signals, emotional, physical, behavioral perspective. Then you went to reflecting. You started saying, okay, here's all my apples. Now, objectively, Michelle steps into the middle of the forest, that green part, the wired for love, made in God's image, wisdom, which is our core. And Michelle now splits into two. Michelle the wise. I like that. Michelle the wise. And Michelle the mental mess. And from the situation. And Michelle the wise is the one picking the apples and saying, Michelle the mess, give me the apple. Tell me about it. So there's an objective, clinical, loving, safe environment. Then you reflect. And Michelle the wise says to Michelle the mess. And I mean, I'm using the example because you brought it up. We could use me too. And in my podcast, I'm very open and honest about all this stuff too. But we then start reflecting. Why do I feel the anger? Why do I feel this physical symptom? Why do I feel the frustration? And you ask, answer, discuss, which starts revealing. Then you, third step, you write down and into that metacog form, into the form that you're, that activates your brain to pull the two sides of the brain together to start getting the reasons why. Then you go to the fourth step, which is you look at what you've written over that time period. You did this daily for a period of 21 days. Yep. And that you looked in the fourth step, you then reanalyzed, you looked for triggers, you looked for patterns, you looked for antidotes, and you reconceptualized, you deconstructed and you reconstructed. And then you went to an active reach, which was, okay, so it's okay. Maybe your active reach in an action for today. You did those five steps in 15 minutes. So 3 minutes per step, more or less, 3 to 5 minutes per step. And the active reach for today, because it closed, you don't go on all day long doing this. You just do it for a limited compartmentalized time. And your active reach was, okay, it's all right to feel anger. Maybe that's what it is. And then tomorrow you repeated the same five steps. You picked up from where you ended the day before and you gathered awareness. Okay, what did I gather? Where did I end off yesterday? Let me gather awareness of where I ended yesterday. What do my apples look like today? And so you go through the five steps. And so you did that for 21 days. By 21 days, you had deconstructed and reconstructed that this thing was not controlling you. You'd built a new thought. So you had done this. Here's another analogy. Over the 21 days of that situation was an ugly house. Imagine an ugly house full of mold and ugly rooms and dark and just absolutely disgusting. And you've bought this house and you're going to renovate it. So you first take photos of how ugly it is because it's in a great area, but it's ugly. You knock the house down and then you rebuild the house. So that's what we've done. You've identified the ugly.
In which we all have the power to.
All of it. Exactly. So the five steps did that. Found the house, took the photos, broke it down, and by 21 days you have built this beautiful new house. You've got this beautiful new mental space. You still remember how it was, but you're not living there anymore. You've changed how that incident is going to play out into your future. Then you practice for another 42 days. You practiced, you had a final active reach, found one active reach, and that one active reach was one overarching, that's how I was, this is how I am, and I'm, that situation is not going to affect me. This is now how I'm going to move forward from this incident. And that little statement, you then practice saying for 42 days. You put it into the app and it popped up 7 times, and you practiced for 7 days. So that first 21 days of doing those five steps every day on that incident grew a little tree in that forest. And by the 21 days, it was a bit bigger. But by 42 days, it was a big, strong tree.
A big, strong tree, which we know, trees and oxygen. You're able to breathe. And guys, everything that she is telling us, even as far as these steps, obviously this is what happened to me, is that it can help reduce anxiety and depression up to 81%, according to clinical studies. And these are studies that Dr. Caroline herself has done and has studied rigorously. So like I said, doing these steps, it has been helpful for me doing the work, processing it. And like you also said, be aware of your emotions. It is okay to say I'm angry, because we are in a society, and maybe, I don't know if maybe it's men or just people that are really successful, you're almost taught, maybe not hands-on wise, but you're almost taught to keep your emotions in, because you, if I'm angry or sad, I can't work. I got to stay creative. Or if I show my anger, my kids won't eat today because I'll be too angry to make their lunches for school. Or the husband who feels like he can't show his anger, he can't show his emotions, you can't show your sadness. But you're telling us, and you've been encouraging us, no, you got to be aware of your emotions.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
You can't change what you're not aware of, Michelle. So that anger that you feel, if you suppress it, it's causing brain damage. It's affecting your immune system. It's affecting your heart. It's affecting your brain. It's affecting your lungs. It's affecting every single, it's affecting your DNA.
So a lot of our illnesses might be emotional related.
It's thought related. So remember, the emotions are inside the thought. So if you think of that tree. In that tree, in the roots, there are thoughts, there's the thought information, feeling information, and choice information. In the branches, there's thought information, feeling information, choice information. So everything related to that concept is in thoughts, feelings, and choice categories, and it's all in the branches. So when you pull up a thought, you're bringing up thoughts, feelings, and choices, all of it together. It all comes up as one big whoosh, and you experience that through your body. And what the neurocycle teaches, and the whole cleaning up your mental mess concept, is how do I manage that? Not just in the big stuff like the toxic traumas that you do consecutively, like we've described, but also in the day-to-day stuff. Michelle, what happens if, like, now you're now doing a podcast? What happens if just before this podcast, for example, maybe you or I had got in an argument with someone in our family or team? And I mean, it can happen easily in our family. We're a family business. I have four kids, three of them work for me and my husband. So we five of us, the main team is my family. It's super easy to get irritated with each other. And it has happened that I've had to get on a podcast in front front of thousands of people. And I've just had, it didn't happen today, but it did happen. It happened last week. We got in the most dumb argument amongst us about a business thing. And then I had to smile politely. But you know what? You know how I got myself together? In 5 seconds, through a neurocycle. So I gathered awareness of my emotions. I'm worked up. I'm frustrated. And then I quickly reflected. I quickly wrote down, and honestly, within 1 to 2 minutes, I had gathered myself and I was able to get in front of the camera and teach people this stuff because I had just experienced it. So this is also for the day-to-day stuff. And Michelle, the more you practice this for, I call those neurocycle life hacks in the book. When you practice the 5 steps for the day-to-day things in the moment stuff, and also the big stuff daily over time, the two together completely change your self-regulation. We are able to self-regulate and mind manage every 10 seconds. In other words, every moment of every day, you are actually able to self-regulate. And that totally aligns with scripture, which says, bring all thoughts into captivity, renewing your mind. I'm talking.
So when a person blows up and it's kind of like, sometimes you can just blow up and it seems like it came instantly. You know, which don't beat yourself up if you go off on somebody, but it's kind of like in that process before you blow up, you can actually self-regulate.
You can self-regulate. And
you just don't blow up out of nowhere, but it's something that led up to the blow up.
Exactly. And you've said something so important because something led up to the blow up. So it's in your forest. There's some black trees in your forest. So if you've blown up and then you need to say, how often am I blowing up? What are the triggers? Okay, this is happening a lot. And this seems to be the kind of trigger. You've got to go do a 21-day detox over 63 days. You've got to go do the full thing. Why do you keep blowing up? There's a reason. That's the symptom of something going on. And if you don't find the underlying cause, you're just increasing your brain damage, weakening your immune system. You know, Michelle, in my research trials, what we showed was we had a control group and an experimental group. And the control group didn't get the neurocycle. The experimental group did get the neurocycle. And both of them got tested. Their brains were tested. We did all the neuroscience, QEGs. We did blood. We did DNA stuff, we did psychological stuff, and the most important is we asked them their narrative. So we looked at everything, the whole mind-brain link. Okay, and what we found is those in the experimental group that got the neurocycle, they started off like we had people coming into the study that were severe, suicidal, totally depressed. They weren't sleeping. They were giving up on relationships, their jobs. They were like giving up on life. Like this, one of the subjects actually said this is like their last thing before they check out. And that particular subject's actually, and that person's story is in the book. Obviously, I've kept it's anonymous, but it's a subject X. And I've actually put the book's got some beautiful colored brain maps and stuff. And I put that, now that subject is super interesting because that subject at the beginning of the study came in totally depressed, totally anxious, not sleeping, relationships shot, not coping at work, cognitively impaired, not wanting to get out of bed most days, so anxious when they were awake, ruminating, overthinking, imposter syndrome. I mean, you name it, okay? And this person was in their mid-30s, young. Okay, still young. When we tested them, just the inflammation in their body was terrible. Their HPA axis, cortisol was crazy. Their narrative was so sad. Their psychological tests were like, they were extreme. Okay. And in other words, everything was bad. Literally everything, even their DNA. Now, if you think of, you've all seen Jurassic Park and you think of that little DNA ladder in Jurassic Park. And if you pull out the DNA, if you pull it apart, you'll get chromosomes. Chromosomes look like X's. So if you make an X with your finger and think of your fingernails are telomeres. Telomeres, and I know this is science, but this is so unbelievably significant and incredible in our design. Just to show you how important this is. You have telomeres, millions in every cell. And these telomeres are directly like, they're like a barometer of your mental mind management, your mental mess, your thinking, feeling, and choosing, your mind. Mm-hmm. So if you're a mental mess, those telomeres shorten. Why is that important? If they shorten and get weak, they don't make healthy cells. Why is that important? Because every second you're making over 1 million cells. You and your body, you are making right now as we're talking over 1 million cells every second. The quality of those cells is based on the telomeres, which is based on your mind. So if your mind's a mental mess, they're going to be messy. We saw at the beginning of our study, those people, especially that particular case that I'm describing now, their telomeres were so short. Now, we can understand that in terms of what we call biological age. So just bear with me here. Listen to this. It's phenomenal. This person was in their mid-30s. Their telomeres showed us that their cell health, which meant that their biological age of all of their body, their brain, heart, lungs, skin, kidneys, pancreas, gut, everything, was of a 65 to 70-year-old sickly person. So here, they are in their 30s, but their body is of a sickly 65 to 70 year old. That means that they have just increased their vulnerability to disease by 75 to 98%.
Wow.
So they now there is that particular subject. Was one of the subjects in the experimental group. They then did the 21-day, they did the neurocycle over the 63 days. And it was in there, it was in an app form. So it's everything that's in the book, Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess.
So in the app, yep.
It's in the app.
It's a brilliant app. And it's called a brilliant app.
Thank you. No, it's called, no problem. It's called Neurocycle as well. Same as it's now been changed from Switch to Neurocycle, and it's been updated and tons of stuff added. So there's tons of content added. So if, let's say you're battling with imposter syndrome or people.
So it's not Switch.
It's now called Neurocycle.
Okay, it's now called Neurocycle.
Yeah, it's now
called Neurocycle.
So, so this subject went through the Neurocycle, and they went within 21 days, Michelle, they went from a totally messed up brain, messed up everything like I've described, to a normalized brain, to inflammation levels normalized, HPA axis normalized, cortisol normalized, their telomeres, those little thingies that tell us biology, normalized. Mm-hmm. By 21 days, their biological age was literally matching their chronological age. So they had gained 35 years of health in 3 weeks. And they had gained 81% control over their depression and anxiety. At the beginning of the study, they said, I'm done. I'm smaller. Mm-hmm. By 21 days, they were saying, I'm not depressed. I'm not depression. I felt depression because of.
That's so good.
I know how to manage it. And that's what we found. The people in the control group, they didn't get the Neurocycle. They got worse. They got so bad that they got red brains, which means that their brains had gone crazy. Like a tsunami.
So instead of saying what you are, say what you feel. I feel.
Give the reason. I am shame. I feel ashamed because of. And I am not depression. I feel depression because of. So you're going to find the reason because it's a symptom of shame, guilt. All these things are symptoms of an underlying
symptoms
cause.
Symptoms of something.
So what we must do is not be scared. We mustn't be scared of them. We mustn't be embarrassed about them. If you feel shame, use it to your advantage. Say, okay, well, why am I feeling shame? This is a valid feeling. And if I've done something wrong, I need to fix it, because if I've done something wrong, I've got brain damage. So if I keep it and hide it and get more ashamed, I give more brain damage to myself. I shorten the telomeres.
So brain damage, we think of brain damage as someone that's probably been in a car accident or, you know, but brain damage simply by our thoughts and how long we sit in it and how we have the power. And I know you're probably thinking that this seems tough and it seems so hard. I'm telling you from my own experience of doing what Dr. Caroline Leaf is showing us about the Neurocycle, it does work. Y'all, I've been very open and transparent about depression, but I'm learning so much about it daily. And when you learn about it and you learn to, like she said, be aware of your feelings and allow yourself to feel that, and you take that embarrassment and that shame, or don't feel like even isolating because of the embarrassment or the shame, or feeling like, you know, you're a bad person or no one will love you, no one will work with you because of this. I am here to tell you it is not true. And Dr. Caroline Leaf, the work that you are doing to help free thousands of people, I just want to thank you so much for giving us your time and the passion that you have for this. Actually, this is a question I should have asked, and then I'm going to close. Where did the passion to be in this field come from?
It's been from the beginning, from what I could, as long as I can remember, I was fascinated with the brain, and I was going to go into neurosurgery, but then I wanted to work with people. So I did a sort of combined degree where I did medicine and psychology and neuropsychology and neuroscience. And they don't even offer that degree anymore because it was too difficult. It was like a 7-year degree in 4 years. And then I went on to do my master's and PhD. I pursued. So right from the early days when the desire to understand the brain, and then there was the exposure in my degree to these concepts. And then I was very challenged by a professor saying your brain can't change. And I thought, this is impossible. We keep changing and our brain must change because that's where things are. Anyway, so the passion began very early on as a young scientist. And I started working with people with very, very severe brain damage. And I tell a story of a young girl who changed unbelievably in over a period of just 8 months. She had a terrible car accident. She was incredibly, she was a very poor academic student, had a terrible car accident, got even worse, was written off as a vegetable. Her parents approached me. I was a very young scientist then. This is like 35 years ago, one of the first subjects I worked with. And long story short is I taught her that version of the neurocycle. It's not even close to what's in this book. It's like the first version of it. And she went from being literally written off as a vegetable to finishing. She lost a whole year of school. She managed to catch up, finish school with her peer group, finish 12th grade with her peer group. And not only that, she went on to get degrees afterwards. And not only that, she actually was a very bad student, a poor student. She couldn't do math or anything. She ended up finishing school with brain damage, having done the neurocycle in its early version, being a math genius. You know, it's those stories. It was, and I can tell you
I better stick with the neurocycle so I can get good in math.
Brain building.
I don't like math at all, but that's a thought that I can change. I love math and math loves me. Dr. Lee, y'all, please, where can we find you?
DrLeaf.com is my webpage. My Instagram handle is Dr. Caroline Leaf. And you can get the book Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess wherever books are sold. You can go to get DrLeaf.com. You can go to the Instagram page, Dr. Caroline Leaf, or you can go to cleaningupyourmentalmess.com and it'll take you to all wherever you buy books.
Yes. We are so excited, you guys. Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess is out right now. You can go and get it. Dr. Leaf, my friend, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. I love talking to you.
Yes, ma'am.
You're so special. Thank you for being so vulnerable and open about your story. And thank you for using this and showing how it's helping people. How it's helped you. Now you're helping people be able to change. So
thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate you and the vessel that you are. Well, everybody, that's it for today with Checking In with Michelle Williams. Thank you so much for tuning in. All right, now, y'all, didn't I tell y'all this time with Dr. Caroline Leaf was going to be mind-blowing? Didn't I tell you it was going to snatch some edges and just, oh my gosh. Listen, I'm sitting here speechless. This is what happens every time she and I talk, by the way. So we talk about stuff personally, but I'm telling you, y'all, I can't. One of my favorite parts was when she talked about how we are wired for love. So if we are made in God's image, and if we know that God is love, no wonder we are wired for it. But somewhere along our journey, things happen and we forget who we are and we forget whose we are. So never, ever forget what you're wired for. You are wired for love. Now, that doesn't mean somebody is not going to try you. It doesn't mean that there won't be circumstances that make you sad. But man, if our response can be out of what we're wired of, which is love, I'm telling you, I think that we can make change. I think we're waiting on other people to make change. I think we're waiting on other thought leaders and presidents. But if we just respond out of what we're originally wired out of, which is love, that change is actually can start with me. That change can actually start with you. Another one of my favorite parts was when she was talking about our gut health and brain health. And there's so many jewels and how our mind is what we think, feel, and choose, and how we have the power. We can be our own brain surgeons. That's what neuroplasticity is, right? That word itself, we have the power to change the brain and our mind, which is connected to our body, which is connected to our soul. Y'all, listen. Ooh, honey, I need some chamomile tea after this. This has been beautiful. I'm excited, you know, to continue to have a range and a variety of friends come on this podcast. I'm so grateful for Dr. Caroline Leaf. I mean, she's been doing this over 38 years. She comes from South Africa, by the way. So if you're wondering where that accent comes from, she's from South Africa. And she now resides here in the United States in Dallas, Texas, with her and her amazing, beautiful family. So I'm glad you guys got to tune in. Please let me know your thoughts on this episode. And don't forget to pick up her latest book, Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess. Thank you for checking in. Checking In with Michelle Williams is a production of iHeartRadio and The Black Effect. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful Black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.